Hey everyone, before we get started, just want to do a quick reminder that you can sign up for a free trial of our projection system over at dfsr.com/MLB. That'll get you optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. It's free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. You can go over to our chat room and just ask some of our users how they enjoy the service. They'll give you their honest answer, and we wouldn't point you over there if we didn't know they weren't happy with it. So dfsr.com/MLB, and you're all set. And once again, a quick ask to go over to iTunes and just rate and review us over there. It really helps to boost us up the iTunes charts to have reviews over there. So go over to iTunes, rate and review the podcast. It really helps us out a lot. We appreciate it. All right, let's get on to some Friday baseball. All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Friday, July 7th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
Sweet Baby James.
Oh, you are sweet, baby. We have a full Friday in baseball ready to go here. A lot of good stuff to talk about. A lot of pitching that I think we're going to get down on. Almost like too much. Before we get to that, though, I want to actually play you about something real quick from yesterday. Hold on 1 second.
Here we go. You should never play Tomlin in a big tournament. If your goal is to come in first place, Tomlin will not be on the first place lineup tonight. And a guy like Liriano, who, yeah, he won't be. He will not be in the first place lineup in a big tournament on DraftKings tonight. Mark my words. Email me, james@dfsr.com. If it comes to fruition, and I'll dance for you.
Buddy, now, hold on a second. First of all, I just want to say something really quick. Fell asleep last night early. I assume you're playing this just to pat me on the back because I was exactly correct. Is that right?
That is incorrect. He was in all of the top tournament lineups.
No.
He
went out.
So we have an audio show here, so it's unclear about how you're going to make good on the bet for you to dance.
Nobody emailed me about it, so that was, I don't know if you listened closely to the deal, but the deal was people needed to email me, james@dfsr.com. I have exactly no emails from anyone about that, so thanks, but no thanks. Everyone missed their window for that.
People in our chat room were chiming in there near the end and then have remembered were mentioning it. So it wasn't lost on everybody, but I just
wanted to... But
nobody
emailed me about it because and our chatters, as always, bad listeners. No one sent me an email saying, I'm checking. Even the spam area, I don't see anything. Just a lot of messages to enlarge various parts of my body. That's the only thing I'm seeing in my spam folder here.
The big thing for today is that I learned how to cut audio and play it over.
That was great. I was so proud of you. I'd like to hear my own voice, man. I sound pretty good.
No, so Tomlin ends up being great. Our lineups do not win tournaments, but getting pretty close. Not full on sweats, but our top lineups in DraftKings last night paired Sale and Tomlin. That was basically the winning pitching lineup. It was just moving around some of the bats. Got close, like in the top 200 or so in the $8 rally on DraftKings. But anyway, yeah, Tomlin gets there for all the people that played him in big tournaments, except for you, buddy, get there and win.
What was Sale's ownership on FanDuel last night, out of curiosity?
93 on in cash, 60 in tournaments. So Tomlin was low. Tomlin was less than 20% in
cash.
That's
pretty nutty. Yeah, I had a long day at the Museum of Science in Boston, and then I fell asleep early. So just like a lot of DFS grinders out there, I missed out on last night, unfortunately.
Absolute nerd. So we have a full slate of baseball, tons of good pitching here, and like I said, almost too many to name in a relatively, if we want to keep the time constraints.
We can name them. I mean, we can just
list the name. So we have, I would say, three or four ace types, and then like a bunch of guys in the tier below. Scherzer's clearly the best of the bunch. He's also the most expensive on both FanDuel and DraftKings. Not significantly, well, I guess so, yeah. He's 1,400 more on FanDuel than the next closest pitcher in DeGrom. Is tonight, with so many good pitchers tonight, do we still need to go Scherzer or bust here in terms of our cash games, or are there enough other considerations where I can think about fading him? Because I mean, he's clearly the best pitcher on the slate, but where do you think price comes into him?
Yeah, I think it makes sense to take it site by site because it might be a little bit different on both sites. Frequently, we see that we can't pay up for the max on DraftKings. But so on FanDuel, I think definitely Scherzer this season. I was running some queries, Doug, earlier before the podcast, and it showed that Scherzer was leading. Why are you laughing?
Because you know why I'm laughing. Keep going.
Because Scherzer, in the queries I was running, Scherzer came out as the highest fantasy points per start in all the majors this season, Doug. So that's a little nugget people can take away, courtesy
so just to
of
rewind,
old sweet
the
baby
queries
James.
That I was running that I told you about this morning.
That's not cool, dude.
I'm going to put up an article.
Why would I just come? Why would I just say that if it weren't true? Like it.
Because I know how you operate. So
I was just being fresh, but that's fine. Anyway, the queries I was running were showing that Scherzer are great this season in terms of fantasy points per start. Atlanta, kind of a weird matchup. Like they don't strike out very much, only a 19.6 strikeout percentage against righties. on another query I was running alongside the other one. And but they are a bottom 10 team in the league in terms of WOBA. So Scherzer, obviously elite strikeout stuff. He can strike out anyone, 12.16 Ks per nine. Should be a great start for him again tonight. And I think, I mean, you mentioned DeGrom is a cut below him. Our system doesn't love DeGrom tonight at St. Louis. The Cards are just a much worse matchup than the Braves are. So I think that you'll see... So it doesn't really make sense to pay down for that, in my opinion. And then after that, you're talking about going all the way down to Greinke. And I just don't know if you want to invest such a small portion of your salary on a full slate at the pitcher position on FanDuel. So yeah, I think I'm going to be playing Scherzer in cash almost without a doubt.
He basically checks all the boxes of what you need, right? So he's been among the top, you know, he's maybe just be the best pitcher in baseball this year. I mean, if not, it's a close race between him and Sale and I guess like the recent form of Kershaw. But the group is very, very small. So you can kind of, and that's actually something else we'll be coming up with over the break, is we'll be putting up our DFSR midseason awards. So we'll be, our staff will just be writing up who we, you know, who we have for Cy Young, who we have for MVP. We have a biggest bust article going out. So stuff will be going up over the All-Star break. And I'm also going to put up an article about where pitchers are getting, the query that I was telling you about that I did in our database was where pitchers are getting their points from. So like
that was our biggest bust article. That's like our swimsuit edition type of thing. It's like we're just going off since there's not really anything sports related.
Yeah, I take that going away. So I'm just gonna win that. It's just gonna be a picture of me, and then maybe a video of you dancing. So Scherzer checks all of the boxes. Huge money line. I believe he has the highest money line of the day. -245. I guess Carrasco's kind of pushing up there, but no one else in the -200 range. I think it's just worth it. He's just been great, right? Like, he's been one of the best pitchers in the league, striking out his most strikeouts per nine of his career, and his career's already been, like, one of the best. I don't really know. It's only the price that you're kind of worried about here, and on a huge slate, enough value bats typically come in that the points per dollar that you're getting on his salary is really pretty tough to replicate. So you mentioned, I only mentioned DeGrom because I did not think that he's, like, the next best pitcher here. I just mentioned him in terms of price. Like, he was the next most expensive guy. After him, you know, you mentioned Greinke. Greinke saves you a lot. Greinke himself has been pretty good. Has a decent matchup here. Bad ballpark. Do you think, is there like a strong-ish case to pivot down to him, or did you kind of have someone else in mind as a pivot away from Scherzer?
Yeah, I mean, the case for Greinke is basically just that he's really, really, really good. The matchup is actually pretty poor. The Reds this season are a top 10 team against right-handed pitching. They strike out at a battle league average rate slightly below. The fact is that Greinke is just awesome, though. I mean, at 10.2 Ks per nine, 1.8 walks per nine, those peripherals are elite. You know, it's true ace-level stuff. The issue, yeah, it's the ballpark and the matchup. Both aren't very strong. And so I think he's a great consideration for big tournaments. There's absolutely a case where he goes out there. Scherzer, maybe he doesn't get as many strikeouts because he's up against Atlanta. You free up the 2,700. You can reinvest that into some bigger-name bats. Maybe you even dip into the Coors game, which has a really, really nice spot tonight. But now for cash games, I just don't think it's the type of way you want to save up. Like, we did this with Alex Wood the other night, going down just because the matchup was so strong. But when the matchup is weak like this, and there's a big potential for home runs in particular, which Greinke has struggled with in the past, I mean, especially since moving to Arizona, I don't think that's a reasonable pivot for cash games, in my opinion.
This is, you have to go back to somewhere around 2011 for this kind of season for him. Like, strikeouts are the highest, about the highest of his career. This is the second highest season-long K per nine that he's had. The walks are at his best level, I think, pretty much, or just around one of his best levels. XFIP is right in the kind of that same range. Yeah, no, he's been, if it weren't for some of these other just like truly elite, just top tier, really can't touch them guys, like he would probably be also like in that silent debate. He just doesn't quite get there in terms of the Ks, but everything else he just does, yeah, among the best in the league. I'm with you. The ballpark doesn't help him here. Chase really does boost power. If you're going to struggle with some fly ball stuff there, then I don't know why. Yeah, you probably just don't need the pivot.
Yeah, I don't know what I get from it. I get some savings, but I think reinvesting savings into bats for my cash game purposes doesn't typically make sense when I'm basically just going for the highest expectation and the lowest standard deviation.
If we're kind of just calling it that we think Scherzer is just the clear cash game play here, and then, you know, now we're only talking about tournament GPPs, let's talk about some of these other pitchers. So we mentioned Greinke. Who else after him? There's DeGrom, there's Carrasco, Martinez, Paxton, a lot of good names here. Any one of that group sort of stand out above the rest.
Way to go, man. You just listed all the other teams. So all the other guys. Now I have no big surprise.
I listed them, but I didn't list them in any particular order. This is now where you come in and order them.
I'm the ordering guy. Okay, so I think the one that comes to the top of the list for me, I think, is James Paxton. I like Carrasco, or Martinez as well, rather. But I like Paxton particularly here. I actually really like him on DraftKings. I think the price there is very reasonable. $8,500 is going to allow you to pay up for some more bats, especially if you like, you know, middle out twice. I mean, you can potentially even pair him with Scherzer, although Scherzer's getting pretty expensive there. It's just going to depend on, you know, any cheap guys that kind of burble up to the top of the lineups for their actual real-life teams. But yeah, Paxton this season, about 10 Ks per nine. His line actually looks very similar to Greinke, with the exception being that he walks quite a few more guys, and that's very significant. But he does have a major park advantage here over Greinke. The fact that he gets to pitch in Seattle means all that power that Greinke's going to allow is going to be depressed instead, and that makes a big difference, you know, especially if we're just trying to go for a high floor, not have one of those fluke innings like we had the other night, double off a leg, you know, seeing I single home run. That's a lot less likely to happen in Safeco, just because bringing it all together with the home run is a lot more difficult. And then the A's are just a tremendous matchup for left-handed pitching. They're bottom three in the majors this year in terms of WOBA against lefties. They are the worst in the whole American League, and the K percentage is through the roof. Let's see here. Second highest in the AL in terms of strikeouts against lefties. So it all comes together very, very well for Paxton here. I think the upside is huge for big tournaments just based on the A's ability to K, and I think the floor is reasonably high too, thanks to the park.
Yeah, the A's will run right-handed platoon-heavy bats down the lineup. Now, that being said, just because they're better against righties,
they're just not good.
Yeah, necessarily that good. Like, to get Marcus Semien back, he's much better against lefties. Rajay Davis, for his career, has been much better against lefties. Chris Davis has been excellent. He's actually a real problem in the middle of the lineup. But after these guys, and like I said, their platoon advantage is kind of only compared to themselves, right? They're just still not upper-level elite bats.
No, they're actually terrible, like I was saying.
I'm speaking about Davis and Semien. I would put Chris Davis in a group of, like, an actual real bat. Like, he's been very good this year. But the other guys, no. So, no, I think I'm with you. Like, there's going to be some platoon problems here. But, yeah, Park and matchup, I think he's a minus 150 right now. We have the A's for a little more than 3.6 implied runs. It's kind of right where you want to be, especially for Paxton's DraftKings price, like where you mentioned he's a much better deal at $8,500. I definitely can see a situation of pairing him with Scherzer. I do think there's enough options here that pairing one of these mid-level guys with Scherzer is okay. Like, once you get out of the group of, like, the DeGroms, Greinkes, guys like that are in the 11,000s range, there are a couple other names that you can pair here. Like, you know, Drew Pomeranz is another one of these guys. He's facing a Tampa Bay team who will also strike out a lot. He's been also, in his own way, just kind of pretty good this year, striking out more than a batter per nine. He had been a little unlucky that starting to regress a little bit with his BABIP, but, you know, he's striking out almost 10 guys per nine, less than three walks. I don't know, 3.63 xFIP, that's right in your slightly above average range. Do you put Pomeranz in that same group as Paxton?
No, I love Pomeranz. I think this is a really, really good spot. You broke down a lot of the stats here. Nodded to the Rays matchup. Actually, the Rays striking out the most in the league against left-handed pitching this season, bar none. Pomeranz actually went out and struck out 10 Rays in just 4 1/3 when he faced them in April. Now, he obviously got blown up as well and got chased from the game early, but the writing is on the wall still. He can strike these guys out. I like that kind of secondary tier on DraftKings today, kind of across the board. Another guy I was looking at was Kenta Maeda. Kenta Maeda, of course, has all these same issues that all the Dodgers pitchers have, and that the last time he was actually terrible when we played him against the Padres. Thanks a lot, Kenta. But the previous start, he was great. He had 7 shutout innings and got pulled after 92 pitches. So, you know, if you play him, do so understanding that you're not going to get more than 100 pitches at the absolute max, and that's only if things break perfectly in his favor, and that the Dodgers are going to err on the side of 90 or so pitches, and that's going to make that tough to be a tremendous value. I wouldn't put him in your GPP lineups. I wouldn't guarantee necessarily that he won't be in the top overall GPP lineup, because that would just be foolish. But
you can go double or nothing on that if you want to, but, like, we can just, like, figure out
then what we don't have to, like, dance naked at that point. Like, how do I double up a dance? Two dances I don't think is gonna pay the popper.
Dance naked, buddy. Yeah, I think we can get there on the dance naked. I'm personally not gonna sign up to see it, but I'm sure we have a user.
Sure, you won't, buddy.
I was wrong before when I said the guy only guys minus over with more than minus 200 lines. Maeda is actually in that group as well. That a lot of that comes from the Dodgers, have just been damn good this year too, like, especially in the offensive side of the ball. So and the Royals just stink. So that he's getting the money line pulled from there. He only threw 71 pitches last game, but like you said, it's hard to tell if their plan was to throw him 71 pitches or he was just getting rocked and they just pulled him. I think
he was just getting beat up and they pulled him. Yeah. And also, he was throwing a lot of pitches per inning. The Dodgers may be one of these teams that's getting a little smarter about the fact that, sure, 71 pitches doesn't sound like so much, but when you have to do them all in a row with no rest, it's a lot different than stretching out 71 pitches over six innings, right? So I think there's something to keep an eye on there. I also say tonight, it's weird because normally if I looked at this slate on DraftKings, I would want to just jam, say, Scherzer and Paxton. The problem is that even as you get up into spending $21,000-$22,000 of your salary on pitchers there, there's so many bad pitchers tonight as well and good teams facing them that you have a lot of opportunity in mid-range to high-range bats that our system's going to want to play too. So, well, I think there's a lot of opportunity where we finally land, especially, I think on FanDuel it's going to be pretty straightforward. Where we finally land on DraftKings, I think it's going to be a little bit trickier.
No, I agree, because we have a core, like we said, we have a Coors game that's going to kind of muddy it up. The core, I think the Rockies are up for over seven implied runs or something like that, like some insane number. Like actually came down a little bit. That started at a 12.5 over under, and then is now down to 12. They're still out there for a ton of points, a ton of teams with, you know, more than 5.5 implied runs. That just means a lot of just bad arms. Just a couple other pitchers here to maybe sort of nod to. For tournament purposes, I actually can make a small case for Nick Pivetta here. It's very rare that this is really diving deep. And actually, sometimes there's so many good pitchers here that it might just not make sense, because it's hard to imagine one of like the seven or eight guys that we just mentioned not being one of the top pitchers on the slate, just because they're all so good. Pivetta, though, he's one of these guys that, so rarely are the Phillies ever, so they're never almost ever favorites against anybody, but then the Padres, you know, the Padres come to town and all of a sudden the bookmakers are like, oh boy, well, the rubber meets the road here. One of these teams has to be the favorite, right? So we saw last night the Padres, they will strike out a lot. They're not a very good team, just in general, probably the worst offense in baseball. Pivetta is one of these guys where he actually has strikeout ability. His bugaboo this year has been the walks. He has a game in his belt right now, a six innings, a 10K performance. Actually, I was at that game. That was my daughter's first game. She was enthralled with the strikeout upside of Mr. Nick Pivetta as she was begging for more Rita's water ice and like just to basically just leave. But he has that game in him. And the game before, he went seven innings with 9Ks. So those games, he's shown the ability to have these games in his repertoire. Where he's struggled his last two, he has 9 walks in his last 9 innings, and that's against Arizona and New York. So my case for him here is the matchup is great. He is a real guy coming out of the minors. He's shown the ability to have done it more than once this season when everything's kind of clicking. And I think from that point of view, there is some, am I crazy here, or is there enough of a case to like with some upside on him?
I think there's definitely some upside. You know, it's just so tricky when you are like a third tier type pitcher and there's just so many big arms, because like for these big tournaments, especially on FanDuel, I mean, DraftKings, it's a little different. You can spread it across multiple guys and you're kind of, there's just a lot more moving parts. I feel like you can take more risks on pitchers. On FanDuel, it's tough because like you kind of need to be the highest scoring pitcher overall. You don't necessarily need to be, like certainly if it just knocks the dominoes down in a certain way where you just happen to be able to get in a bunch of expensive bats. The issue is that, okay, so the way it generally breaks down is this. The highest scoring pitcher on a given night is almost always one of the top 4 or 5 most expensive guys. The highest scoring bat is oftentimes just anybody. You know, it's just someone who happened to hit a home run with a couple guys on base, right? So I think you oftentimes get higher upside from taking more risks on bats than you do from pitchers, if that makes sense. But there are nights certainly where the bigger bats just all come through and you can't get access to them without saving up on pitching. So I think there's a case to be made there for sure. I don't know if it's the direction I would personally look in, because I think you can get some pretty stacked bats with kind of these mid-tier guys like Martinez, Carrasco, and Greinke. But I definitely hear the case.
Yeah, 7,300 on FanDuel is really the thinking here, because what you can do with that price is then stack
play everybody.
Like Colorado and the Yankees together. You know, these teams that are just like are through the ceiling. And I almost never go down into this range because there's almost never a reason to. The guys just stink. They're the German Marquezes of the world, you know? Like, they're just guys that you just don't need to, you don't really need to ever consider on a nightly basis. Like, the other guys in his range are like Ari Dickey, Ricky Nolasco, Tim Adelman, guys that we're going to mention here in a second when we talk about stacks. But the when you get a guy that has pedigree, K upside, and a great matchup in that range, I do think there are, this is like one of the rare times that I think it's worth it to, you know, just, and then you go with like some of those high leverage bats that sit in the middle of the lineups for teams in great spots that you actually do have to pay for some of these guys this year, you know, Arenado's and the Judges of the world. So that's my case for Pivetta. It's not something I'm going to go overboard about, but I did want to nod to a guy in that range. Anyone else before we kind of transition over to some of the bats, because there are a lot of good teams in good spots today?
No, I think we've touched on all of them. I mean, there's an embarrassment of riches at the pitcher position tonight. The fact that we didn't mention even guys like Cole Hamels probably speaks to the fact that you can get upside in a number of different directions. It's going to be really tough to, you know, tonight's a night, it's going to be tempting to load up on big tournaments, but it's going to be tough to be the one who kind of catches that lightning in a bottle, given that there are so many options and so many guys that can go off.
Yeah, we skipped over like Carlos Carrasco and Carlos Martinez. Like these are
big, I mentioned Carlos Martinez earlier, but yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, okay, just as a nod to him, but yeah.
Right, so like these guys that we're just not spending a decent amount of time talking about some of these huge arms is really crazy. One of the better, this last 2 days kind of combined, because yesterday was like this also when you had like Robbie Ray and Rich Hill and combined with Sale and some other guys. This is one of the most loaded pitching nights I can remember in a while. And DFS will really screw with you, by the way. I know we're going to get to bats in a second. But DFS, like, especially from our point of view, where we just talk about it every single day, it can really kind of like make life pass too fast, because you're like, didn't I just talk about Dan Straley yesterday? Like, what happened? I know these guys only pitch out once every 5 days, but like...
Doesn't seem like that when you're doing a podcast, for sure. Especially like when you don't do them on the weekends and then you come back.
I could have sworn like I spent yesterday talking about this guy. But man, spend enough time doing DFS, these guys, these days kind of just all rolling together, especially with baseball. All right, let's get to... we're going to get the stacks. Hit us up with a sponsor before we talk about some of the teams that are in pretty excellent spots tonight.
Yeah, I'd love to. So the sponsor that I'm going to highlight tonight is InGame Fantasy. InGame is offering a revolutionary new application for daily fantasy players where you download it, put it on your phone, and then you basically simulate a baseball game throughout the night. So it's the same DFS sort of mentality. You draft a new team every night, but instead of drafting your players before the game starts, you actually draft them in real time right before the players are going to come up. And then from there, you play a baseball game instead of accumulate points. So guy hits a double, he's on second base for you. Next three guys get out. Well, he's off the base, you know, no run scored in that inning, and so on. So you get to sweat it just like an ESPN box score, and you just see how many runs you can score. The game doesn't end until your last guy is out, so that's a lot of fun as well. InGame Fantasy, check them out, ingamefantasy.com. Promo code DFSR gets you a free $5 entry ticket.
All right, we mentioned a lot of good pitchers today, a lot of bad pitchers also going here. We clearly have the game in Coors that's going to take center stage. I think that just is the case, even though they haven't, you know, the Rockies didn't put up a ton of runs yesterday, and you know, just because you're projected for a high run line doesn't necessarily mean you are guaranteed to have that run line. That being said, their implied runs are by far the most on the slate today. Actually, not by far, but they have around 6.5 implied runs. Is this a game that we're going to try to get as much of the, at least the Rockies side of the Coors in here with their salaries, or is it just going to be too tough if we're paying up for a guy like Scherzer?
Well, you just got to figure the Rockies tonight. I mean, they're up against Derek Holland, so Derek Holland, he just basically has to look himself in the mirror and be like, really? I have to pitch in Coors of all people? Derek Holland has huge troubles with the home run ball. He always has, regardless of where he's pitched, whether it's Texas or, you know, since he moved to Chicago, he just gives up tons of home runs. This year, his fly ball rate is at an all-time high, and he's going to Coors against guys who can really hit left-handed pitching. So this is a really tough spot for him. You have to imagine he's not going to make it out of the fifth inning here, famous last words and all. But yeah, I think it's one of those nights. Normally, people are going to look at Coors just because it's Coors. Holland actually happens to have the exact profile of the guy you'd like to stack against in Coors. So I know that there are some nights where it doesn't work out. Tonight really doesn't feel like one of them.
Yeah, the guys in the middle of that, I mean, they got LeMahieu back yesterday, so that's just another righty to deal with. So running down LeMahieu, Arenado, and then Mark Reynolds is just going to be a real problem. You know, Arenado is expensive, $4,700, and that's going to be a tough pill to swallow, especially if you're paying up for Scherzer salary. So I'm not sure. I think only for that reason, Arenado is not chalk. But it will be interesting to see how many people sort of bite the bullet and do not roster Scherzer. Like, for instance, Scherzer's ownership levels will be much lower tonight than they have been in his recent performances, and I just don't know the numbers right off the top of my head. But just because there are so many other good pitchers, and people are going to stare at this game and be like, lefty and Coors, guys like Arenado and Reynolds, just really that three right in the middle, even a guy like Trevor Story down at the bottom of that lineup, are in such a good spot here. You just simply can't have really more than two of them, short of having some insanely cheap guy just kind of jump to the top of the list and top of the batting order, which may happen, but you actually might even need two of them to really get more than two Colorado bats in with one of these big pitchers. I think that's the only thing that will hold people back, or will just make it so they just pivot to one of those cheaper pitchers that we mentioned before. But there's such a good spot. You know, we've always kind of touted this, that this is where you still roster the most expensive, best pitcher, like in this situation, right? Like you don't overextend to get the bats in terms of like a variance kind of thing, right?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I could see a case. It just depends on how the exact names you wind up seeing, but I could see a case, you know, we mentioned this earlier, where Greinke kind of sneaks up into some of the top lineups if the bats are just too outrageous. But no, you don't want to go down much further than that. And certainly Scherzer being the best guy and the safest guy, I wouldn't personally overextend for whatever, Nolan Arenado or something. That just doesn't line up with the way the math works out frequently, and it's not my approach either.
Right now, on our DraftKings lineups, what it's trying to do is pair Scherzer with a much cheaper arm and then jam in four of those Colorado guys, right? Like where, you know, Reynolds is 4,400, LeMahieu only 4,000, Story 39. So that's where it's looking right now. I don't know if that's where it ultimately ends up when it's all said and done, but Rocky's clearly in a great spot. After that game, who are some of the teams you see just in, you know, kind of high upside spots today against bad pitchers?
Yeah, I mean, the one that is going to be on the tip of everyone's tongue, I have to imagine, is the Yankees. So the Yankees today are pushing Colorado for that highest implied total. I mean, they're not going to catch them just because they're not playing in Coors. But going against Junior Guerra is a rare opportunity. We were talking about this before, but I don't know if he's hurt or what the hell's going on here, but the 6.02 xFIP might be literally the highest I've seen through 45 innings pitched in a given season. And if not, it's pretty damn close. It would be the worst in the majors among qualified pitchers by more than half a run if he were to qualify. But the problem is he just can't pitch enough innings because he gets chased too quickly. He's walking 5.5 guys per nine, giving up 2.3 home runs per nine. So again, to put that into context, not only is he walking more than one guy every other inning, but he's also giving up a home run once every 4.5 innings. That's just incredibly bad numbers. Top this all off, he just has the worst ground ball rate nearly in the majors as well, at 34%. So he's walking guys, giving up hard contact, and giving up contact in the air. That is a recipe for disaster, and that's how it's worked out this year. So yeah, I mean Guerra, he's kind of funny. People considered him sort of a prospect when he came up. He's actually quite a bit older since he came over from Mexico, and yeah, this is it's not working out for him. It's hard to imagine he's going to be in the majors much longer, and I think the Yankees will speed up that process.
The Yankees' offensive firepower is really concentrated at the top of the lineup. They're not a team like, you know, let's say the Indians, we can talk about it in a second where it is. They have a lot of good hitters, but they kind of spread them down through like almost like the five and the six hole. The Yankees really aren't like that. It's kind of Gardner, Judge, Sanchez, and then, I mean, they have Didi Gregorius hitting cleanup. He's been fine this season, but just that's not really what you would picture in your cleanup hitter. And then it kind of really does drop off the table. They've really been dealt with a lot of injuries lately. So, you know, Ellsbury's back in the fold here. They have G-Man Choi that's kind of just caught back up because they couldn't figure out how to get Chris Carter to hit. I do think if you're looking at the Yankees, you really are focusing on the top of that order, right? The Gardner, Judge, and Sanchez. And I actually want to caution people a little bit on Judge. Judge has been great this season. Clearly, like, he's the MVP right now, I think, pretty much going away, considering that Trout has been hurt. He's also been, like, about the luckiest player in the majors this season. So right now, he leads the majors in BABIP, the 427, that just simply is not going to stay. Like, it's about as, through, 350.
It's like 50 points higher than Babe Ruth's BABIP or something like that.
That's what I mean. He's 350 at-bats into a 427 BABIP. I get that he just absolutely smokes the ball. So, like, his BABIP might just trend to be higher because he just just hits just BB line drives that are going to be tough to catch. 427 is completely unsustainable for the rest of the season. Much less a career, and his home run to fly ball ratio is 41%. 41% of the balls that he hits up in the air end up out of the park. That also simply just can't last. So I get that he's been great, and he's priced like he's been great because he's been, I don't know, I think he's the highest WAR player in the majors this year, kind of like going away. He's also been the absolute luckiest player in all the majors this year. So that's my only little caution on Aaron Judge. Great, but you're paying. You're paying at the absolute top of his performance where these numbers simply can't help but regress, unless he's just going to continue on and be like what we talk, like some kind of video game player for the rest of his life, which doesn't really feel like is going to happen. So that's my only little quick PSA about Aaron Judge. Although I still do love the Yankees, love the top of that.
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees, you mentioned it's concentrated towards the top of the lineup. They're also second in the majors against right-handed pitching this season. So there is a little bit of depth there, but if your hypothesis that it's more concentrated than the average team is true, then it's an even better spot to stack their top four guys.
After those two teams, Rockies and Yankees, other team, and I'm with you, by the way, on Junior Guerra. I do think he's got to still be hurt. Like, there's something just clearly wrong with him. And a hot, humid day in New York is just not going to do him any favors. After those two teams, which I do think will be pretty popular, other teams coming in at values that you see in good spots against bad pitching.
Sure. I like the Nationals again. They might wind up being the odd team out in that they're both expensive and probably not listed as quite as high as the Yankees and the Rockies here, but they do have a dream matchup against Ari Dickey. Dickey this season kind of just and continuing to get worse. You know, he's been getting worse ever since he left the Mets. He's topping that off right now with a 5.22 xFIP. And while the knuckleball does create some oddities, you know, he's always going to have a lower BABIP than it seems like he should have and so on. The 5.7 Ks per nine, 3.6 walks per nine still do put him in a position to have a lot of really bad innings. So, you know, again, the Nationals have some really strong lefty bats. Maybe get Brian Goodwin at the top of the lineup for some cheaper value. And then you can put a guy like Harper and Murphy around him. Maybe we're talking more for GPPs since I don't think these guys are strictly the best value. Like, I would just play the Yankees if I really had to choose. But I think you can probably give up not that much expectation for a team that's going to be much lower owned, but still has similar upside.
It'll be interesting to see where Anthony Rendon finally lands. Like, so many guys have gotten hurt for the Nationals that at some point they're going to run out of players, and you would think Rendon would just move up in the lineup, like, and not hit six anymore. Like, so if they hit Goodwin leadoff, and then, I mean, I see some projected lineups that have Wilmer, because they've lost Trey Turner and Michael Taylor now, and so they are dealing with injury issues of their own. If they were to hit Wilmer Defoe second and keep Rendon, it's a fire, and keep Rendon like in the sixth spot, to me it's just an absolute fireable offense. Like, I just don't know what a guy needs to do to move up in the order. Like, you still get, so it would actually still check the box. It would be like lefty, righty, lefty. Rendon has like a 400 on base percentage this year. Wilmer Defoe is like the definition of just like a replacement level batter, basically. And I guess he can just like run kind of fast, but if this does not move a guy like Rendon up into the second spot, literally nothing will. And I don't know, maybe I'm overstating it. I think that's just you need to go as a manager if like you can't recognize these very simple mathematical concepts about like who's good and who's not good when it comes to just like who should hit in front of a guy like Bryce Harper. Hitting a guy like Wilmer Defoe in front of Bryce Harper, if that were to happen, if I was Harper, I'd be pissed. Like, I'd say, dude, homie, go play the other guy that gets on base all the time. Like, this Wilmer Defoe can't do anything. Anyway, that's my
little... Cut to Dusty Baker listening to this clip and then just taking out a big stack of $100 bills and just making it rain, putting his hands on
the... Here's the thing. I mean, clearly he doesn't listen to this podcast, but he doesn't listen to anybody or read
that's
anything.
That's what I mean. Like, Dusty Baker's like, a joke, man. This guy's amazing.
He's an absolute joke. He still continues to do it. Still has, like, some terrible ideas about where a batter should...
But he gets the best out of his players. Like, that's the thing you're not seeing. That's kind of like the unseen part of this equation where guys like Wilmer Defoe wouldn't even be in the minors if it weren't for Dusty Baker. So
he's stuck. Whatever. It just pisses me off so much. Anyway, it shouldn't piss me off as much as it does. But like, I guess I'm just it's a trigger for me when people just make absolutely horrible decisions. Yeah, Wilmer Defoe is a 297 on base percentage. Okay,
you're one of those young nerd know-it-alls with your stats and your acronyms, your alphabet soup, OPP, you know me, that kind of thing. You think you know better than guys like Dusty Baker. We get it, man.
I know he hasn't done it, and you know, and this will be the final thing I say about this, but anytime you can get a 600 OPS guy into your second slot in front of, like, I don't know, the second or third best player in all baseball, you just absolutely have to do it. After them, any other teams before we get out of here?
Yeah, actually, I was looking at the Orioles today. I have to confess, I had to look up Felix Jorge to try to figure out if he was good or bad. And actually, you know what? Do we have the piano music, Doug? Because there's something I'd like to implore at least our users, our little sect of society.
Here we go.
All right. So listen, I know that it's really tempting. You know, these guys are famous. They're good looking. They're incredibly athletic. When you type a guy's name into Google and you're just going to look up his statistics, don't look up who someone's wife is or what they look like, and definitely, please, don't look up who their sister is. When I typed Felix Jorge into Google today, the top two listings were Felix Jorge wife and Felix Jorge sister. Please, please, stop living such a pathetic life that you just need to know who you're famous, the people you're fans of that are famous, what their wives look like. That's it. That's all I gotta say, because it gets me every damn time. We wind up Googling baseball players probably just more than almost anyone on the planet, because this is our job.
And every single person from every sport, baseball, football, NHL, doesn't matter, girlfriend, wife, net worth, get over it. These people, they're not your friends. You don't need to know any details about them. That being said, Felix Jorge, I was able to, when I got done looking at pictures of his wife smoking
hot. Side note, his wife is absolutely smoking
though. we made the same stupid joke, I mean. But anyway, I actually have never, ever looked up that particular query in my entire life. Felix Jorge is just a guy. Like, he's just coming up from the minors. It seems like he has reasonable control. Is going to struggle with the home run ball in the major leagues. And he was not, I guess, horrible in his first start. But there's no indication that he's going to be a real major league pitcher. So then you got the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles are kind of hit or miss. Like, it always seems high variance to me when I roll them out there. But they do have reverse platoon split guys like Jones. Kind of platoon neutral guys like Machado. And then, of course, a few lefties that can really hit like Davis. So I do think there are some Orioles you can get. I think they'll be lower owned. And I think if you're looking at just candidates who are going to blow up, I just always look for relatively unknown guys with no track record, because there's a huge percentage of pitchers that just go into the major leagues and last like two starts while their teams try to pretend like it never happened and they get sent back to the minors. And Jorge certainly checks the boxes there. So that's another one for me.
Yeah, there's just so many teams in great spots here. I'm with you on the Orioles. I could see even the Rangers have a high implied run total here against the Angels, against Nolasco tonight. Even they're not like totally jumping out. Nolasco's been decent this season, but the Rangers, it's going to be hot in Texas tonight also. And that really makes the ball fly out of the park. I mean, Arizona, the same kind of thing. They're facing Tim Adelman. They get AJ Pollock back at the top of the lineup, so they're kind of revolving door of guys they had. I mean, I guess they had Gregor Blanco more than most guys, but AJ Pollock is a huge upgrade over Blanco. Their lineup gets a little bit more solidified sort of at the top with Pollock, Peralta, Goldschmidt, and Lamb. That is a very tough top four to deal with for any pitcher, sort of like platoon neutral. I mean, some of those guys are platoon guys, but for a righty, that is going to be a huge problem, because Goldschmidt doesn't really give up much against righties. I do like the top four of that lineup to sort of stack, and they're actually a good reason of why I want to play multiple slates tonight, because getting Greinke with that team, there's so many good pitchers here that, again, playing multiple slates gets pretty good EV in across the whole thing, because you can find a quality arm and a quality matchup on just about every slate tonight. All right, we're going to get out of here. Full Friday in baseball. Lot to kind of break down here. A lot of pitching, a lot of hitting. Really great night to probably play DFS for FanDuel and DraftKings. DFSR.com/MLB will get you a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that, and you're all good to go. Buddy, enjoy your weekend. We're off. This is our last podcast before the break, right? So I will not talk to you until after, until next Friday.
Where are you going next week, dude? Are you doing anything in specific?
Camp Stomping Ground.
So check it out.
We will be putting up content all through the week. Next week, though, even though there'll be no baseball, we'll be throwing up. We'll have, obviously, our NASCAR and PGA going up. That's still going on. And then we'll have some of our baseball superlatives and just some different sort of statistical stuff that we've been looking at for the first half of the year. So go check that out over on the main page. Buddy, enjoy your relative week off, and I will talk to you next week.
Yeah, man. See you then.